our leadoff hitter, so to speak, this morning is Coach Blake Utley, Fort Dodge Baseball. Coach, exciting time, a lot going on. Good to see you this morning.
Yeah, good to see you, too. It is an exciting time. The heat is definitely turned on, and we're excited about that.
It is, and, everywhere I go, people are talking about how hot it is and aren't you hot and all that. And, no, I'm not, because I'm so used to the humidity, whereas, it is hot, but it's not humid, so it doesn't bother me because I'm so used to it. I am thriving in this climate, whereas the people from here thrive. I have a terrible time in December, January, and February, and the people here thrive a little bit more in that than I do. So this is kind of my time to not have the elements bother me as much as other people. They were talking about that in press box over at the softball tournament last night about how hot it was, and it is hot, but it for me it's not unbearable. This is May where I come from.
Yeah. I did some student teaching down in southern Georgia, so I get exactly where you're coming from.
Oh, yeah, and it's humid down there because it's swampy. Oh,
down in the deep south there.
And what part of South Georgia were you in?
I was in Brunswick, Georgia.
Yeah.
Golden Isle.
And it is swampy down there, too. Humid. Yeah,
yep.
I know all about that area. Coach, you guys had a week. It was a little roller coaster. You started the week with a difficult time, Mason City. I think you had trouble getting ahead in the count. I think, you walk 16 or something like that in those two games?
Yeah, I lost count after about 10.
We definitely
struggled. I mean, right out of the gates, we had an issue with some injuries. We had Christian Davidson on the mound in the first game, and I think when he's on the mound, he gives the chance against anybody.
And in
the first inning, he's out kind of holding his arm a little bit. He's still competing, not saying a word, but I'm like, as I watch him, like, something's not right. So I took a mound visit and had a little discomfort in his elbow. So, it scares the heck out of you as a coach, especially for the young man. And so I was like, we're going to get you out. So we got somebody else in. And it just kind of threw the whole momentum of the night off, and we have to get better at just jumping back in and playing the next pitch. And he moved over and played a little infield at second base the rest of the night because he said it wasn't overly painful to just throw the ball. So it started that way, and then there was just some plays that we are accustomed to making that we didn't make. Pop-ups in the infield were falling. It's just one of those nights, and we just had a hard time on getting back onto the right track.
That's the game of baseball sometimes. Sometimes it snowballs against you. Sometimes it snowballs for you. And that's kind of part of it. Now, with Christian Davidson, as I understand it, he's went in for an MRI. Give us an update on his condition.
Yeah, he went in yesterday. I think he found out that MRIs are pretty fun. Getting into that tight space. He doesn't really like tight space, but I didn't tell him that in advance what was going to actually happen. But it was kind of funny to see his response. Actually, that was 2 days ago. He got his results yesterday, and he got some good news. There's no significant tear showing on the MRI. That doesn't mean, it's 75 and sunny now for him. He's still going to have some recovery, some physical therapy, and just kind of get things back. But he's in good hands. I mean, he went and saw Dr. Matt Moritz, and he does a great job with the athletes in this area. And I know he worked with Jalen Adams when she was having some arm issues, and now he's going to go to do some physical therapy over at Highland Park. So, we're lucky to be in a community like this where we have it right here. And so I'm excited to see him go through that and to get his strength back.
Yeah, for sure. And here's the thing, not only you lose a lot with him not being able to go on the hill, but I know on the Wednesday doubleheader you had him hitting, but you didn't have him defensively. And that's a big loss, too, because, I've been impressed with how good he is defensively at shortstop. He's a complete player. He's a guy that's fun to watch play the field because of how good he is at it. So that changes and takes away from your defense, too.
Oh, it does 100%, but it gives another guy an opportunity, guy who's put in the time, another guy who wants the opportunity, to show what they can do. So, as much as we want Christian out there, it allows somebody else to step in and say, hey, oh, by the way, I can play ball, too.
Well, and I think we both know that you understand it's pretty easy to see and know what you have with Christian and to understand that, you know, you need him back healthy in mid and late July, you know, for the playoffs and that kind of thing. You don't necessarily have to have him in late June because you know what you got there, you
yeah.
know. So, yeah, we wish him a full and fast recovery for sure. You know, he's a senior, so it's one of those deals. You never want to see a kid miss time, but especially not a senior, because you know how valuable and how much that means in that one final year. So we hope that he's back quickly and ready to go. And once he comes back, no more issues, hopefully, the rest of the way. So, for sure, Christian Davidson there. And that's a loss for you, but you know, you've got some guys who can play in those spots, and one of the guys that's really on fire for you right now is another middle infielder. I call him Double E, Eli Elsbecker. I've heard some folks call him the Machine.
Machine, yep.
He has been absolutely tearing it up. Wednesday night, doubleheader, game one. 5 for 5, hits for the cycle, hits a two-run walk-off, and I'm not sure that ball landed yet. He got all of it. I don't know why they pitched to him. I hate to throw anybody under the bus, but that was one that I'm still scratching my head about. He comes up, the winning run on second. Eli's, you know, in extra innings, Eli's run does not matter at all. So he's 4 for 4. And I asked you about it off the air, and you said, well, you know, because he hits in the 7 hole, I don't care if he hits in the 12 hole. If he's 4 for 4, I'm not pitching to him that situation. The way he was seeing the ball on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get paid to make their decisions, you know.
But, you just benefited from
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. But Eli was locked, and Eli's always locked. I mean, he's a guy who puts as much time into this game as anybody in the program, and I would venture to say as anybody in the state. I mean, he loves the game of baseball. He's been playing it since he's been little, and all our guys have. But he just has a different approach to it. I mean, he's putting in extra time outside of practice. And him and his dad go spend a ton of time together with this game. And so when you got guys that do that and they get to have a night like he had, you just feel so good for him because
sure.
because he's earned that. Now, sometimes the game doesn't always give you what you earn, you know,
yeah.
but that night he was seeing the ball come in and it was going off the bat pretty well. I would have felt really bad, though, because his opening hit, he hit to the center field wall, and I was trying to hold him up at second. He ran through it and ended up being a bang-bang play at third, and I guess – you know, hindsight 2020, I almost took his cycle away from him, which I don't know, last time I've seen a high school kid hit for the cycle.
That's a pretty rare thing. It's the first time I think I've seen it since I've been here. So that's pretty rare, and he was locked in. He was great. You dropped 2 to Mason City on Monday. You beat Marshalltown in game one in a thriller ride of a game. You get down. At one point, I think you were down 5-0 and 7-1.
7-0. Yep.
And you scratch one across, and I'm thinking, you know. And finally, here you come in the fifth inning, get 6. Juice Ulrich, who I always say he's your emotional leader. When I saw him hit that 2-run homer, I was like, okay, like they're going to make a run right here and get back in the game, because he's a guy that it kind of feels like when he's doing him, other people are going to fall into place with that.
Yeah, I think our top 5 guys in our lineup, I mean, they're very explosive guys, you know. I think Drake Callen has had a heck of a year at the top spot. I mean, last year he was hitting at the bottom of the lineup,
yeah.
Struggling to put the ball in play, and he's taken a step, and his confidence level is extremely high. And so when the lineup rolls over and I see him walk up, I'm like, all right, here we go, here's some runs. You know, let's get it going. And then Christian backs him up, and then we got Jace, and then you got Zim, and then you got Carson. You know, and then so it allows us to have Eli hit down in 6 or 7, which now he's going to see more fastballs, and he's going to be able to give the ride he does to the ball. So, I mean, Jace is a huge leader, but, you know, we came out of that first inning, and they scored 5 runs right out of the gate.
Yeah.
We weren't exactly the most sharp team right out of the gate, but I told the guys on a day like today, you know, whenever Marshalltown comes to town and the wind's blowing out of the south, we might win this game 15-14. It might be 17-16. I was off a little bit. It ended up being 12-11, but I told the guys.
10.
Or 12-10, yeah, because of the home run.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it's tied up. Yeah, it's a 12-10. But I'm going, hey, this game isn't over. But we just got to, you know, just keep fighting, you know, keep eliminating their runs, try to minimize their runs. And, you know, but they kept putting some up too. So it was like, okay, here we go. It seemed like every time we score, they'd respond, and then we'd respond. Yeah. But the last part of the game, if you think the game of baseball is boring, those last few innings was not boring at all.
It was wild. There were you guys tied up at 7 after 5. They get 2 in the 6th. You come back, get 2. They get 1 in the 7th. You get 1 and almost get 2 and win it in the 7th. Question here for you. So, Jace Ulrich's on the base pass there. He comes around 3rd. You hold him. The throw is well off. It gets away. You send him, and he's out by a step or two at the plate. Obviously hindsight's 20/20. Have it to do over again. You try to send him to make sure that they have to make that throw and get him.
I don't know. I don't. With Jace coming around 3rd, I'm not sending him again.
Okay.
Now before that pitch, the thing going in my head is do I run for him here, or do I wait till he gets to 2nd base? And so that was the whole mindset. When he got to 2nd base, we were going to run for him. Then we put a ball in the gap, and I'm like, okay, we should have ran for him at first base.
I thought about that, too, because you could have re-entered him.
Yep,
you know.
Yep. But we were kind of, just kind of holding off because, with 2 outs on the board, it was like, okay, well, maybe this is 1 out. It would have been an easy decision. He's going, we're going to run for him, we'll swipe 2nd, would have been the mindset there, and then Zim comes up with the game-winning hit. But the way it played out, it just felt better than theirs. Zim comes up and hammers a ball, and Jace's feet move really fast, but the ground underneath aren't moving as fast. So I love the guy to death.
He's not setting any records running the bases.
And the ball is already in the air. As he's getting 2/3, the ball's in the air, and I'm like, I have a lot of belief in the rest of our lineup, too. Carson come up and end this game as well. So let's hold them up, and we're 90 feet away. They make a mistake on the mound, which more games are lost than won in high school baseball, I truly believe. Let's hold them up now. Once they're cut off, release the ball. I knew right away, should have sent them. But didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. And, my only thought was that's a hard relay to make that relay and that pressure situation and then make that throw spot on. Because the throw would have had to be spot on to get him. And as far up line as it was, he would have scored. But that's hindsight 20/20. And fortunately for you guys, you were able to still win it in the 8th. So it didn't come back to hurt you there, because we see so many times where a bad break like that does get you in the end. But you guys were able to play through that. I just like the fact that, your guys, they never quit. They kept coming and kept coming and found a way to win. And sometimes it's more about finding a way than it is playing an A-plus ball game. Sometimes you got to find your way in your B-plus effort or your B effort,
Absolutely. And, didn't start out well, but, a game of 7 innings for a reason. You try to win each pitch and attack each pitch as if it's the most important part of the game, because, ultimately a game's going to come down to 3 or 4 pitches.
Sure.
The only thing is you don't know where those 3 or 4 pitches are going to be. They're going to be in the 1st inning, they're going to be in the 7th, they're going to be spread out. You never know. So you got to be locked in every single pitch.
Yeah, that's why it makes every one of them that much more important. Blake Utley's my guest, Fort Dodge baseball coach. Coach, Thursday night you go to West Des Moines Valley. After that, kind of thrill ride Wednesday. Not only did you have the thrill ride win, but you come back in game 2 Wednesday night. You're up 12-0 in the 1st inning. Carson Peterson is hitting everything he's seeing into the parking lot across Floral Avenue. You get up 12-0, which I've noticed something about him. Every game where I've had you guys in doubleheader, the 2nd game of the doubleheader, man, he's dangerous. I don't know what it is, but every time in the 2nd game of the doubleheader, he comes alive.
Yeah, I think Carson has an explosive swing. Right now, when he misses, it's going to be a pop up to the infield. But when he's on, it's not going to land.
Yeah.
It's when it does land, it's not going to be in sight. So, I think just using his at bats from game 1 to make his adjustments is the key. And then he gets into game 2, and unfortunately that game is still, postponed due to weather. We will make it up. The date is still to be determined, but we will make it up, so he will have 2 more home runs when that does take over. But, I thought our guys came on game 2 ready to go. Now Marshtown was at a point where, hey, it's starting to get late in the week for them. They have games the next day. It comes down to, who are you going to pitch? But the thing is, we still have to hit the ball. I don't care who's throwing the ball down, in the zone, you still have to hit it. Sometimes, you face a good pitcher and it struggles. Sometimes you face a pitcher who's trying to thumb you a little bit and you struggle and you pop everything up. But in that game, we took what they gave us right away and said, we're going to put it on you.
Yeah, and that was just a difficult turn of events because you get up 12-0, we get lightning, we go in delay for 30 minutes. Right before that 30 minutes is over, we get some more lightning, so we're in 30 more minutes. We're all, you know, under the impression and hoping at that point that once that clears, we're going to go back and play. I think at that point it's 10:45 at night, something like that. Then we get word that, you know, the lightning's not going to clear, so we're going to postpone the game. So it was a difficult turn of events because you had that game in the bag, I mean, at 12-0. I mean, you would think, barring what I would call a comeback of biblical proportions from
right.
Marshalltown, you're going to have that game in the bag. You turn around Thursday, you went to West Des Moines Valley. Tough luck loss in that one, 4-1. Alex Underwood gave you another really good chance at winning the game. Good solid start. Jace Ulrich was good. But it was one of those deals where you pitched well, but they pitched just a little bit better.
Yeah, you're 100% right there. I thought, you know, Alex did an excellent job. I mean, he goes through, he has one walk, one hit batter, so there's two free 90s. But other than that, he was on, making them put the ball in play. They have a big park. Wind was blowing in, so we knew, hey, if they hit it up in the air, we could run under it. They just had a few more timely hits than we did. I mean, we had as many runners on base as they did, but they just had those timely hits, or there was a couple times where we had a miscue on the infield, and it may not have gone down as an error, but just a miscue of being out of position a little bit, or a lack of focus. You know, I can think of one play that was probably more of a lack of focus, but, you know, we talk about, you know, we don't know when that big play is going to be, and that's one of those games where we had two teams that are very similar on the field. I think if we played those guys 10 times, I'd like to think that, you know, that we'd win 6 or 7 of them. But they can swing it. They have a solid lineup, but we just have to do a better job taking care of the opportunities that they give us, taking advantage of those opportunities.
That's a big part of it. Blake Utley, my guest, Fort Dodge Baseball. Big part of it is, you know, Caleb Corbin that they threw against you, you know, he was sharp. I mean,
yep.
I think he scattered like 5 hits and gave up a run, something like that against you. It's one of those deals where when you get a guy like that in a tough situation, you can't allow him to pitch his way out of it. You've got to get to him when you can.
Yeah, I mean, he's the type of pitcher we're going to see in tournament play. I mean,
he
had 0 walks. So he was going to make you earn everything. He was able to throw a hammer of a curveball down, in for a strike. So now you couldn't just come in and sit fastball. Now we have to be able to hit the curveball too, or you know you're going to get a curveball and a fastball on the count. And our hitting coach, Connor McLeod, is excellent talking to our guys during the game and said, hey, now our baseball smarts are going to take over, okay? What's he going to throw you? And that you got to go in there and hunt it. And once you get what you're hunting, you have to connect on it. And our guys started to do that later in the game and had some good swings. Tyler Schreier came up with a triple in the 7th, hit it really hard to the right center gap. And then Eli came in with a sack fly to score him. Unfortunately, that's where we ended.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you say the hammer breaking ball, you're talking about the overhand 12-6?
Yeah, he was probably 11-5, 12-6, you know, but he would just drop that thing in. Sometimes he'd start at the zone and drop it out of sight. I mean, he was on. I mean, he looked pretty good. Now, like I said, he's going to be just like any guy we see in tournament play. You know, he was a low 80 fastball guy. But I liked our approach. I mean, there was a few at-bats that got away from us, but towards the end of the game, those at-bats came fewer and fewer that got away from us, and we were starting to get on to them a little bit. So that was good to see. We just have to continue, you know, taking it pitch by pitch and having that great approach, that mental approach as well as physical.
Yeah, for sure. Now this week, you've got another loaded week coming up, Ankeny Centennial at home, McNeil Field, Monday night, doubleheader there. Wednesday, you've got Ankeny High coming to town for a double dip, and Thursday, Roosevelt on the road for a doubleheader. So we know the schedule's always tight, but this one this week a little bit more even than most because you're playing not only 3 different days, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, but you're playing twice each day. So now, given what we know that Christian Davidson's not available to throw for you, he's been your number one in a rotation, you know, this very challenging point here to – trying to manage what you can manage here from a pitching standpoint when you got this many innings to eat up in this short amount of time.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. You know, it's going to put a challenge on our pitchers because, you know, Christian, we were counting on for, you know, a complete game at the beginning of the week. you know, to save pitch counts. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't quite understand about the game of baseball is the pitch count rule that comes along with it. And as soon as they go over 25 pitches, they have to rest a day. So when you have 4 days to play six games, that the pitch count is going to have be a huge determining factor on what you're doing, what decisions you're going to make as a staff, you know, to attack it. You know, maybe some guys will get an opportunity that haven't been on the mound yet for us. And if so, that's exciting too, because we get to find out what they can do. You know, may bring a sophomore up here or there. Now the sophomores also have an eight-game week, so it's hard to rob, you know, hard to rob from them because
it's robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Correct.
That's gonna be difficult.
But no, we're looking forward to the week. You know, Yankee Centennial comes in; and they're very, very comparable to us, so that's gonna be a battle on Monday.
Split with them down there in the road.
We felt like we gave them one of those two. So we left that night a little disappointed, but, you know, then we have Ankeny at home, and Ankeny, you know, they present a great challenge for us, which is going to be a lot of fun. I would suspect there's going to be 15 to 20 professional scouts at the game on Wednesday because Brody Breck will be here, and he has this little circus of scouts following him around. So I think our guys will be excited to be able to play in front of some professional scouts. I mean, why not? Why not go out and play your tail off?
You expecting him to throw against you on Wednesday night?
I think that's probably where they'll be in the rotation. I've already kind of talked to their coach, and he said just give your AD a heads up that the circus could be coming, you know, to the circus of scouts is what he calls it. So I'm gonna stick with what he said. And so I don't know. I imagine he's probably going to throw. If he throws Monday, I think they're still coming along just to see how he throws in the outfield. I mean, they're trying to decide if this guy's, you know, how much is this guy worth to him.
You know, I'm actually at the softball doubleheader that night, as we'll have that against Ankeny. If I wasn't, I would be there to watch Brody Breck. I'd be there with the circus coming to town to watch Brody Breck pitch. I saw him the first year I was here. I saw you guys in the playoffs against him.
Tough day game.
And you guys did a really good job against him at that point. I didn't know that he was still considering a baseball future because I know he, you know, was going to play football at Iowa or whatever. So I didn't know what the status was of that. So that's pretty interesting. So there's a possibility that he could go in the draft at this point.
Oh, he will. He's going to go in the draft. It just matters how high, and it matters if he's going to take what they give him for money.
Or turn it down and go.
Yeah, I mean, he's an 18-year-old right now that has touched 97 on the radar gun. So,
oh, wow.
So that's a big number.
He's grown up since a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think last time we faced him, he was about 88.
Yeah, so, he was throwing high 80s, maybe touching 90.
He might touch it.
But now, I mean, when you're talking about 95, 97, I mean, that's big-time arm talent.
Yes.
For sure.
Yep.
So that'll be an interesting challenge on Wednesday. This whole week will be kind of an interesting deal. It'll give a lot of guys a lot of opportunities. That's the thing about it is, you know, I know you guys approach it as a collective effort, and that's what you're going to have, I think, to be able to get out of this week with a winning record.
For sure. I agree with you 100%, but our guys are ready to go. They're not going to shy down from any challenges. Because if we had a doubleheader on Tuesday, they'd say, okay, let's go play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how we'd pitch that one, But hopefully, you know, that doesn't just show up out of nowhere, which it won't. But, no, it's going to be awesome to get out there, back on the diamond, and see these guys in action and see what we can do this week.
Have you figured out with the Monday doubleheader, you kind of figured out where you're going with the rotation, or are you still making that decision? I would imagine that that Carson Peterson's probably going to throw game one Monday.
We'll leave that up in the air for right now. We have an idea. We're going to meet again as a staff, and some of that has to do with Christian, too, because if he can play defensively, that makes some of those decisions easier.
Changes
if he can't, it makes it a little bit different, just because – you know, middle infielders are at a premium. So
and Petey, if you throw Petey, you're one down with your middle infield because he can play in the middle infield. So it makes pretty good sense. Well, Coach Blake Utley has been my guest here, Coach. Appreciate you coming out.